Radiolab is supported by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, exercising, cleaning. What if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com, Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Wait, you're listening.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
You're listening to Radiolab.
Radiolab.
From
WNYC.
See?
Yep.
And NPR.
Okay, so, you know, the core of our job, right, is to ask people questions. Right?
Yes.
And then we sit there for hours and edit the answers. And I've noticed that the answers sometimes have a kind of musicality to them. Like sometimes you get this.
That's right.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Yes.
No way.
Right, right.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yes. Oh.
No.
I know that. Those are the sharp, quick,
staccato
beats.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is like the sound of certainty, right?
Yes.
But there are times when you get a completely different music, you know, like say you're asking a hard question or a clarifying question. Is it A or is it B? Then sometimes you get this.
Well, it's certain. I mean, it is.
I mean, yeah, well, but I think.
You get this kind of melodic wavering.
No,
I don't know.
In purely musical terms, the pitches in the first one are like pow, pow, pow. They're just precise and quick. But in that second category, the pitches are floating up or floating down. They're never stable.
You're not a normal person, really.
No, it's like that's the sound of...
doubt.
Doubt.
You know what we could do?
What's that?
We have collected some stories, which in a way, they all have doubt in them. They have certainty in them. Mm-hmm. And what they all are kind of collisions, really.
We have three stories for you.
Difficult, complex, emotionally wrenching situations.
Kind of situations that you can't really walk away from.
And you can't resolve them. So you have to do something. And that's this show. That's going to be our show. We should call it...
Are you sure?
No. I don't know yet. I have to think about it.
No, that's what I'm suggesting as a name. Are you sure?
Are you sure? Yes.
Are you sure?
He said with certain amount of doubt.
Okay. I'm Jad Abumrad. He's Robert Krulwich. This is Radiolab. And to get things started...
Are you sure? That's good.
We start with a producer we've worked with for a very long time, Lulu Miller. A very interesting story, which takes many twists and turns. It begins, actually, with the fact that, as a girl, Lulu really loved rocks. She just loved to sit on rocks. She loved to think about rocks. She just liked rocks.
They felt slightly animate in the way that a tree does, or that an animal does, that I know it's not a human, but it's a nice thing in the world that for whatever reason brings about a feeling of peace.
Then one day, seventh grade,
Mr. Pricer,
he's a science teacher,
he did a lesson on inorganic versus organic matter.
Mm-hmm.
And we make this huge list on the chalkboard, organic matter. Trees, yep. Dogs, yep. Pasta, sure. It's kind of blowing our minds because it seems like everything's organic. A corpse was organic. Even a table is organic.
Yeah, because wood used to be alive.
And then he draws this like harsh white line down the chalkboard and he writes inorganic, metal, salt, rocks. And I was like, oh.
Now, it sounds a little bit silly, but this was actually a big deal for Lulu. I mean, even when she worked with us, she would talk about this. But then you fast forward many years. Actually, when she was leaving the show, she decided to bike across the country from California to New York. And she meets somebody who changes things for her and her rocks and pretty much everything.
Well, I met him in the middle of possibly the loneliest place in the world. It's called the loneliest road in America, Highway Route 50. And it's just a two-lane road that crosses the state of Nevada. Desert, desert, desert.
This is the sound of a busted bike, a broken spoke, a ripped tire.
Just desert stretches for 100 miles at a time.
Oh!
Did you end up having to...
This road.
To ride 100 miles in one day?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you're in the middle of this... This expanse of dread.
Yes.
And what happens?
And we finally make it late in the afternoon to basically our end point for the day. Little gas station with a little diner. And we see out in front of the restaurant this bike that's like loaded down with so much gear. We're like, oh.
Fellow traveler.
Yep. So we went in, picked him out immediately. He was the only other person in this kind of like biker bar basically wearing Lycra. He was young, he was early 20s, big red beard, this young dude from Kentucky with a little drawl.
What was his name?
His name is Jeff.
Jeff.
Jeff Vineyard. So his story was that he was about to be getting married, and he was supposed to be doing this trip with his fiancée, Megan, but at sort of at the last minute, just due to wedding planning, logistics and all that, she had decided not to come on the trip. But, you know, so he's doing it alone and just kind of thinking of it as a little bit of reflection time before he gets married.
Okay.
He had just finished grad school in geosciences. So geology and like tracking Earth statistical data.
And he was going the same direction that you guys were going?
He was going our way too. And he said, you know, oh, look, mind if I ride with you to the campsite? And we said, sure. And then we ended up riding together for about 11 days.
So you got to know him. You
really got to know him.
So there's another song.
This is us in Nevada.
What hymns do you know?
Well, that was... do you know any of Amazing Grace?
Yeah.
And that's him singing.
Was grace
that taught my heart to fear.
The other little part to tell you beforehand is just that Jeff grew up very religious. Grandpa is a preacher, and his fiancée, Megan, also very devout, very religious, has always felt the presence of God.
The hour I first believed.
He actually met Megan through his church. They met while doing mission work down in Louisiana. Can we go look at a rock really quick?
Okay,
so we meet this dude. He's a geologist. He sings all the time. And about 3 or 4 days into riding together, he says something that completely changes my understanding of the world. Any clue what that is?
No. Can I get some water and rinse him off real quick?
Yeah. Okay. We are pulled over to the side of the road in Utah, and Jeff has us looking at some rocks. All right, just washing it off.
This might be a limestone.
And then he just starts casually just mentioning how limestone is formed.
So it's a sedimentary rock, and it forms from what used to be the bottom of seafloors. What actually causes it to form is there is plankton in the water, and lots of these small organisms that have very, very, very small shells, you know, microscopic. All that's left of these organisms after they die are their small shells. Get deposited on the seafloor, and then more shells get deposited over top of them. And then over the course of, you know, many, many years, you have these very, very thick, almost like drifts of these plankton shells. And then, you know, there's tremendous pressure at the bottom of the seafloor, and they compress, and they compress, and they solidify, and they turn into limestone.
You're saying that these rocks are made out of thousands and thousands of little
critters, pretty much.
Well, I thought a rock couldn't have been alive. That's saying that that rock is composed of something, many thousands of things that were once alive.
Yeah. I don't know whether I would necessarily call the shell part alive, but
doesn't matter. I'd heard what I needed to hear. They do have a little bit of life inside them in a very real, tangible, seeable way. Like, not a poetic idea. They do.
Yeah, they do. They do. I mean, it was there at one point.
I'm sure I must have in some other way learned this. I mean, this is basic rock knowledge, but I somehow missed it.
You sound very excited.
Yes. He gives me my friends back, like with a scientist's wand.
All right.
But,
yes.
This is not actually the story I want to tell you. It's not. I'm sorry. It took me a little long to get here. But the real story I want to tell you is about a very similar thing happening, only with much bigger consequences. Because we kept on riding.
Climbing the Utah Hills.
We make it through one of the hardest days of biking ever, and we finally make it to Cedar City, Utah, and we decide to go out for pizza to celebrate. We're taking a first bite, and then Jeff, who's usually so just like polite and sweet, he slams down his root beer and he says, "I was supposed to be getting married today."
Whoa. What does that mean?
Well, that's what we thought. We were like, what? Finally, he told us this whole story that actually, a couple months before the bike trip, one Tuesday, they were making dinner together.
We were at her house and we were cooking.
And he basically suddenly felt this feeling inside his chest.
Like, right behind my sternum. I just thought, shit. I don't believe in God anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
This just landed on him out of the blue?
Completely without warning.
Wait, what did it feel like?
I don't know. I don't even know if it was like words, but it was just, I believe in God.
Were you then terrified?
Yeah, who wouldn't be?
He'd believed in God his entire life.
Yeah.
And now? Gone.
Just like that.
Was he thinking about something? Or?
I don't know. I kept asking him, and that was the best he could say. And Megan saw the look on his face and asked him what was wrong.
I didn't say anything at the time. I'm just like, just have indigestion. But...
A few weeks later...
I filled her in on that, and that was probably, you know... Megan's a person of deep belief, and that was something she wanted her husband to be at least somewhat on board with, so...
They put the wedding on hold.
Postponed it in good faith that we will work things out.
So, in a way, what he was doing on the bike trip was literally, like, scanning the hillsides to find some evidence of God to win back his bride.
Oh, so this wasn't like a pre-wedding reflective ride thing at all?
No way.
And you're saying he wanted evidence?
Yes.
Evidence or proof. I wanted to be on one side of the fence or the other.
His one demand for God was...
If you exist and you're at all interested in people...
Show yourself.
There's no reason you shouldn't.
So that whole time when I was riding along thinking, yay, my rock buddies are back, Jeff was waiting for some signal from the landscape.
You know, there was a time where I'm climbing up this mountain, wind comes up behind me and like... I'm thinking, wow, this is great. It feels like I'm being pushed.
Yeah.
Is this just the wind or is this something else?
I don't know.
And for the 3 weeks he'd been riding, nothing had really convinced him.
No.
He was just frustrated.
Despondent, angry.
And 6 days after what was supposed to be Jeff's wedding day?
June 4th.
We part ways. And then I had no idea what became of him. I didn't hear anything from him for almost a year. And then I guess he had my phone number from just, you know, we'd had each other's phones while we were traveling together. And he called and said that he was on a little road trip and he's going to be passing through Charlottesville. And could he stay with me for a night?
Hello.
And I said, sure. Do you want to set the scene for us? Right. And basically the second he arrives, I asked him, okay, so what happened? Have you found God? Are you with Megan?
And I wonder, like, where you are with all that.
Oh. You know, golly, that's right there.
He told me that toward the end of his ride, he started to get really anxious.
Okay, trip's almost over. Got like a week.
And are you thinking, like, lightning bolt? Show me an angel? What are you hoping to see?
No. Anything?
And then he tells me.
There was a point outside of Hazard, Kentucky.
I was feeling really low.
And then I was eating lunch at Arby's and...
I know. Okay.
This is where the story gets embarrassing. A ceiling tile fell on my sandwich.
Okay.
Yeah. And...
Like a plaster ceiling
tile? Yeah, like one of the drop ceiling tiles just splat.
Wow.
Yeah. And so...
And then what happened is a guy sitting over at the next table noticed him.
And walks over and gives me a sandwich. And we got to talking. And of course, like, you know, he's a minister. And...
And Jeff just starts telling him everything that's going on. How he's having trouble with his faith and how he's not sure what's going to happen with Megan.
So we talked about that for a while.
And at the end of the conversation... The man gives Jeff a blessing.
Like a benediction. Have a good journey and be safe. And I hate to recount it because it just sounds so... A ceiling tile fell and the guy came over and talked to me. Like, is that really remarkable? But in that dark place, I feel like maybe it was. I don't know. I'm confused.
And when he finally made it home to Megan, that's what he told her. I don't know.
Yeah. We both just kind of sat there for a long time because we didn't really know what to do with that. But I knew in my heart that I wanted to marry someone who shared my faith and just kept hoping that he would find his faith again. And this was just a phase or something. And it was much bigger than that.
And eventually...
I figured out what I wanted to do and cried a lot, and then I went and talked to him at his house.
She just sat him down and gave him his ring back.
It was really sad. Neither of us wanted that to happen. We cried together a little bit, and then I think he needed me to just leave.
And yeah.
It was definitely... hard to walk out of that room.
It didn't work out, so. I'm up in Columbus. I'm staying in Columbus because I like it there.
You moved up to Columbus to be with her, right?
Yeah.
So he got a job.
Turning wrenches at a bicycle shop. Yeah. It's a long way from geostatistics.
Yeah. Rocks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was
going to
be so...
No, don't be.
I'm going to try.
Okay.
Yeah. I turned off the tape recorder and took him out to a really good bar.
Yeah.
He was headed back to Columbus and, you know, just down. And
that's it?
That was just it. That was kind of their ending. And I figured that's end of story. And then... yet another year goes by... And luckily we move slowly on tape, on stories, and a strange invitation appears in my mailbox. I open it up and it's an invitation to Jeff Vineyard and Megan Swainy's wedding.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, a year goes by and you just suddenly get a thing?
To their wedding.
What happened?
All right, shall we commence, Lulu?
We shall commence. Well, I didn't know it happened.
Woohoo!
Megan is walking up right now, actually.
Hi.
All right. Well, first of all, like, what happened? Because I know nothing.
Well, let's have him tell that story, and then we'll go from there.
I'd reached a point where I was actually back in attending church. I'd found a really friendly congregation here in town. I was just looking for something familiar because I moved up here and the one person I know is not in my life and I need something else. So I wasn't necessarily going for the preaching. I was just going for the experience. And
for kind of the pew on the bum and the people around you.
Right. I mean, I was singing with our church choir at that point because, you know, I wasn't really sure whether I had any faith or not, but gosh darn it, I like singing.
And then he told me one day.
Just some gosh darn Sunday. I don't know what we were singing. I don't know what the sermon was about. But we were taking communion, and as I was taking the elements,
He said he just suddenly felt like the air charge.
Like there is a palpable presence all around.
just almost like a tempest. I felt there was something there.
Was it something you felt up in your head? Was it something you felt?
Sternum, mostly. Beneath the sternum.
Huh.
A tightness, a hand, something touching there.
Huh.
Very strange. I don't know what to make of that still. I'm still not sure if it was something divine and otherworldly, or if it was just a profound appreciation for the history of that gesture.
I almost just want to say, like, Jeff, right now, do you believe in God?
Yeah. It's just really different from what I felt earlier. And it's still very uncertain.
Megan, when you hear him talk about doubt, is it scary? Is it something you can relate to? I mean, how does it strike you when he talks about it?
It is a little scary because I think it's still a hard thing for us.
Keep in mind, I'm talking to them 10 days before they're about to get married.
Is it 10 or 11? I think it's 10.
Yeah, 10.
Some days, sometimes it seems like we're really close on how we believe, and sometimes it seems like we're miles apart. But
it's confusing sometimes, but that's, I don't know, I'm okay with that.
And Megan, are you okay with that?
I am. I don't know if it's just me still wishing a little that his faith is more like mine. Maybe I haven't completely let go of that. But on a day-to-day basis, we pray together in the evenings and are able to talk about religious things without fighting with each other. And I think that whatever differences we do have are okay now. Love is a choice. Like, after a certain point, we just chose that we were going to love each other anyway.
Let's pray. Loving God, I pray that as Megan and Jeff speak these words,
they go forward and they get married?
Yeah.
Amen.
It was a religious ceremony, and Jeff will begin with you. They say their vows.
I, Jeff, take you, Megan, to be my wife.
I, Jeff, take you, Megan, to be my wife.
Promise before God.
And I promise before God and all who are present here.
And what was just like, as he's saying his vows, you can hear
and encourage you to develop God's gifts.
The biggest sob I've ever heard just like comes out of his voice. Like that it just felt like bigger than him. Jeff said later that what that was not the sound of resolution, but of relief.
For as long as we both shall live.
For as long as we both shall live.
Amen. It is my great pleasure to introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Jeffrey and Megan Vineyard.
Thanks to producer Lulu Miller. We'll continue in a moment.
Message 10, new.
Hi, it's Lulu calling you from D.C.
Hi, this is Jeff Vineyard.
I'm Megan Vineyard. And I have the credits. Okay, here they are.
Radiolab is supported in part
by the National Science Foundation. And, hold on, traffic's going by. The Alfred P. Sloan Foundation.
Enhancing public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
More information about Sloan at
www.sloan.org.
Radiolab is produced by WNYC.
And distributed by NPR.
Okay, bye.
End of message.